From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Dale Thronberry.
And good morning, America. How are you? My name is Dale Thronberry, and you are listening to Veterans Radio on another gorgeous Saturday morning here in Michigan. And we're coming to you from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor and on stations in Saginaw and Naples. And to all of you that are listening on the Internet, welcome to Veterans Radio. Joining me in the studio today is Gary Lilly.
Can do. CB.
That's true. And our engineer, studio engineer extraordinaire, is Ken Rogge.
Good morning, Dale and Gary.
Good morning, Ken.
Good morning to you, and good morning to Bob out there listening. I just wanted to pass along a quick message for our regular listeners. Many of you know that Bob suffered an extreme loss a couple of weeks ago when his son passed away, and he just wanted me to convey to all of our listeners out there that sent him emails of condolences and sympathy, thank you very much from the bottom of his heart. I just wanted to make sure that you got that from him. Today's program is one that actually Bob put together, and we're going to kind of fill in for him. But it is the Congressman Bob Filner of the 51st District of California, who is the chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee of the House of Representatives, is going to be our guest today. And we're hoping that you, listeners, will call in and give us some of your questions and comments that you might have. So if you do have any of those questions and comments, you can call us later on in the program at 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. But before we get to the congressman, we've got some news. And Ken, you're on.
Thank you. Well, Idaho is offering scholarships for veterans. The University of Idaho has launched its scholarship program, Operation Education, which is designed to provide financial and social support for disabled veterans who've been wounded since 9/11. The program is individually tailored to each applicant. Service members applying for University of Idaho Operation Education scholarships must have been severely injured on active duty since September 11, 2001, and must be accepted by the university. Idaho students are given priority. The scholarship also is open to spouses.
And so that's a really fascinating story. It seems like there's an awful lot of scholarship programs going on out there, in addition to, of course, our own Marine scholarship program.
Right.
But a lot of states are starting to get more and more involved in that.
And it was interesting the other day on TV. I saw a report. A gentleman was talking about the reception that the troops are getting nowadays. And he said, it's a lot different than what my father received when he came home from Vietnam.
Well,
and that's very true. The troops today have got the support. They're welcomed home with celebrations, and you can hear that in our welcome home every week and so on. It's a different atmosphere nowadays.
Well, that's true. It is. It's a different world, too.
Secretary of Veterans Affairs Jim Nicholson has praised the Department of Veterans Affairs' acclaimed chronic pain rehabilitation program at the James A. Haley Veterans Hospital. The Tampa Pain Program was one of six facilities and the only VA facility to receive the American Pain Society's first Clinical Centers of Excellence in Pain Management Awards. That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Honoring the nation's outstanding pain care centers, patients in the VA pain program have, on average, a 50% reduction in pain during treatment. More than half of polytrauma patients leave the facility free of prescribed pain medications, while others have substantially reduced dosages.
Do you have directions to that place, Ken?
No, I do not. Do you need it?
I definitely need it.
No, it's just all I know is that it's the VA hospital in Tampa is the one that received the award.
Well, we got another thing that's coming up tomorrow locally in the Ann Arbor area. If you happen to be around here between 12 and 4, we invite you to stop down for the VVA's, or the Vietnam Veterans of America, Chapter 310's 5th Annual Pig Roast, 3230 South Wagner Road. It's a fun time. It will be had by all. If you'd like to go, the tickets are $10 for an adult, $5 for children 6 to 12, and if you're under 6, you get into free. Great music, a magician, great food. We have one of our chefs sitting across from me right now. All right, Gary?
I'm a carver.
You are a carver. And refreshments and fun are available for all. Again, that's the VVA 310's 5th Annual Pig Roast at the VFW Post at 3230 South Wagner Road between Ann Arbor and Saline, Michigan. Hope to see you there tomorrow between noon and 4.
Gary, I thought you said you're a carver?
I'm a carver.
I thought you were a lily.
If I may mention, that's a celebrity pig roast. We're going to be roasting Jane Fonda.
Again?
Vietnam veterans of them. Roast Jane Fonda.
That's our annual roast of Jane Fonda.
This is something I think we need to work our way through this at some point and get on with our lives. You know?
Oh, it's fun. This is fun. She's invited every year.
I know.
You're a fan. I am a fan.
Yeah, that's a problem. You know, the problem is that she looks like my sister. You know, and it's kind of weird. Of course, my sister's name is Jane, also, which really screws things up. but I would join in a roast of my sister. Occasionally,
is she listening?
Well, I haven't heard from her in a while. Probably I will now. You never know,
or maybe never will now.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. But anyway, yeah, we would encourage people to do that. And later on in the program, if you're one of our guests that do call in with a question, we've got a couple of pig roast tickets available for people that are local.
Oh, very good.
Moving right along to Welcome Home.
Welcome Home. Welcome Home. Each week on Veterans Radio, we welcome home servicemen and women who have been stationed around the world in the service of our country. 30 soldiers for the Arkansas Army National Guard 77th Aviation Brigade were greeted by family and friends at Little Rock National Airport on the 6th of September. 50 Army Reserve soldiers from the 99th Regional Readiness Command's 811th Ordnance Company received a welcome home celebration at the U.S. Army Reserve Center in Rainville, West Virginia. 50 Army Reservists were welcomed home in California on the 5th of September, and soldiers from the New York Army National Guard 727th Military Police Detachment received a welcome home celebration by friends and family on the 30th of August. 140 soldiers from the 3rd Brigade, 2nd Infantry Division were welcomed home in Fort Lewis, Washington on the 4th of September. And 100 soldiers from Connecticut National Guard's 1048th Transportation Company were welcomed home in Windsor Locks, Connecticut on the 6th of September. 152 soldiers from the Army's 101st Field Artillery were greeted by friends and family at the Brockton National Guard Armory in Massachusetts on the 1st of September. 165 soldiers of the Wisconsin National Guard's 1157th Transportation Company were honored in a welcome home celebration on the 31st of August in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Soldiers from the Massachusetts National Guard's 1060th Transportation Company returned home to family and friends on the 30th of August, and sailors from the USS John C. Stennis returned home on the 31st of August to friends and family in Bremerton, Washington. Welcome Home is sponsored by the Marine Scholars Program of Ave Maria University. Visit them online at avemariaedu.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. Welcome Home. Honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
How many of you are suffering from some kind of chronic pain? If you are, then you're just one of millions of people our age who just live with it. I strongly suggest that you give Quantum Physical Therapy a call at 734-483-9200. Quantum Physical Therapy is a multifaceted facility providing cutting-edge conventional and alternative rehabilitation services. The highly qualified and friendly staff at Quantum are the movement experts and are committed to coming up with a specific solution for your specific problem. Whether it's pain, weakness, swelling, nerve injury, amputation, disease, or age-related morbidity, they can help you lead a productive life. Quantum Physical Therapy has two locations, one at 5417 Whitaker Road in Ypsilanti, and the other at 6180 Michigan Avenue in Saline. That's Quantum Physical Therapy, 734-483-9200, or on the web at www.qptherapy.com. And we're back on Veterans Radio, and our guest this morning is Congressman Bob Filner from California's 51st Congressional District. Congressman Filner has been in Congress since 1992, and it's kind of an unusual congressman is that he's got a PhD. I think there's only about 18 of them that are in Congress with that degree, and it's nice to know that we've got smart people representing us out there. Recently, or with the change of command last year, Congressman Filner was appointed chairman or elected chairman of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs. And Congressman Filner, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Good morning. I don't know how smart I am, but I'm trying to serve veterans.
Well, we greatly appreciate that. As a veteran, we do.
We do. Should we be referring to you as Dr. Congressman Filner?
Bob would be fine.
Bob will work. We'll do that, Bob. Thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio today. And obviously there are a lot of things that are going on with your committee, and I guess the first one that I was had on the list was to talk about the Route of the Wounded Warrior. Could you tell us a little bit about that program?
Well, actually it was a trip that the Secretary of the Veterans Affairs, Jim Nicholson, and I made to Iraq and Afghanistan. What we did was wanted to see how our warriors traversed the whole medical system of the Defense Department and then into the Veterans Administration. So we were able to see what happens when a young man or woman gets wounded, how they're medevaced out of that situation to a forward-based hospital, then to a regional hospital in either Iraq or Afghanistan, and then to this major surgical complex we have in Landstuhl, Germany. So what we did was essentially follow that trail and talk to people along the way, see what can be done to make sure that that whole trip is not only as effective but as seamless as possible when they transition into the veterans' health section. So it was a very emotional visit to see all these young men and women, incredibly well trained and self-confident, good morale, but you know, in a very difficult situation with these IEDs and other blasts that are going to. You know, the average soldier during a tour in Iraq will have about 7 concussions, blasts from these IEDs. They are cumulative, they add up, so we have, you know, a tremendous percentage of these young men and women have brain injuries, and we have to be set up back home to take care of them probably for a good part of their life.
Well, that's true, and I see in the press release from your office that it looks like H.R. 2199, the Traumatic Brain Injury Health Enhancement and Long-Term Support Act of 2007. It seems as though you mentioned how many times that they suffer from a minor or major concussion, that this is an extreme injury that these people are suffering over there.
No question. And frankly, neither the VA or the Department of Defense were set up to handle it. I hope now that we've put in literally billions of dollars into research, into treatment, and to set up these centers of excellence around the country that will be able to handle, the polytrauma centers to handle these incredible injuries. What's even more frustrating in terms of dealing with the issue, if you have a severe brain injury, it'll be obvious and, you know, you'll deal with it. What we call mild brain injury may become, you know, from a series of concussions, not necessarily directly suffer from a blast. And this is what, you know, football players we're seeing now who have concussions during their career, and they start getting dementia in their early 40s. So we have to not only treat those with severe brain injury, but monitor those who have a milder form so we can make sure that we catch it. The symptoms may not be obvious, they not be evident for months or even years later, but we have to assume that if you've been in combat in Iraq or Afghanistan, you may have brain injury, and you need to have that diagnosed and taken care of as early as possible.
Congressman Gary Lilly here. I guess Muhammad Ali might be an example of what happens when you take a pounding to the brain. Above the brain injury and taking care of the physical aspects, along with that comes PTSD, sometimes severe PTSD, and I've heard anecdotal stories of the troops being denied PTSD disability from those right. same things that they have physical disability approved.
You're absolutely right. The post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, I have to assume as a policymaker that virtually every soldier has PTSD unless we can find out otherwise. That means we have to diagnose every single soldier, and we have to start treatment as soon as possible. What we're finding, of course, is that in an effort to get home quickly, especially the reserve and guard units, tend not to check off certain things on questionnaires that might lead to further examination and time away from their family. We find commanding officers that don't want to have their soldiers appear weak in their view, or unsuitable for later promotion, so they don't want to have anybody admit it. There's a lot of denial about this, but it is, as you said, it's very, very important. And if we don't deal with it, by the way, we know what happens. Vietnam is a perfect example of where we did not honor our troops and give them the treatment, especially the mental health treatment that they needed. Half of the homeless on the street tonight, over 200,000, are Vietnam vets. That's a tremendous, tremendous blot on the moral standing of this nation that we have allowed that to happen. In addition, and this will floor a lot of your listeners, as many veterans from the Vietnam War have now committed suicide as died in the original war. That's over 58,000. That's an incredible statistic, which means we did not do our job. And we've got to do it right this time. And your initial question is absolutely right also. We are taking, or the Department of Defense has taken over 20,000 in the last 3 or 4 years applications for PTSD discharge and turned it into a personality disorder discharge, which mm-hmm. means a couple of things. One, it begs the question of why we took people in if they had a personality disorder, but and we have an obligation once that happens, I think, to treat people. But more equally important, if you have a personality disorder, that means it was pre-existing to your service, which means that the service did not give you that injury, which means you are not entitled to service-connected disability. Now, that's a disgrace that the Army and the Marines are doing this, and we're going to reverse that and basically outlaw that that kind of rating. But this is what they're doing to save money, and it just doesn't make any sense to me. We're spending $1 billion every 2 days, 2.5 days in Iraq, and we can't take time to make sure that those who serve there are treated as heroes and we give them all the physical and mental health care they need.
Congressman, this is Ken Rogge. There's a report that out that the Congress is going to legislate that the military services can no longer rate disability for their departing service members, and that the VA will have the sole responsibility. Is that true?
Well, we're trying to streamline this whole process and make it more rational. As you know, on discharge from the service, particular service will give you a disability or health rating, and then when you apply for disability from the Veterans Department, you have to go through a similar kind of evaluation. We should, usually they're very different. So that's just a waste of time, a waste of money, a waste of resources, and doesn't do the job. We have to have one kind of medical and disability rating system so people don't have to do it on discharge and on entrance. We're trying to streamline that, what we call, a seamless transition. So hopefully it'll be a VA determination, and it will only be one time instead of going through it at least twice.
I know that you and your committee are trying to streamline that issue, and I can't find it in my notes right now, but I saw that one of the things is you're trying to expedite these disability claims because they're averaging somewhere in the neighborhood of around 6 months to, you know, to even get considered.
This is a very frustrating thing for so many veterans. And because of their experience here, they think VA stands for Veterans Adversary instead of standing for Veterans Advocate. And we got to change that for these heroes, whether no matter whether they're from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Persian Gulf War, or Iraq.
Congressman Gary here. You just said was true, and there was a saying amongst Vietnam vets: VC is now VA. So you turn from fighting one to fighting the other. But yep. My own personal experience was I put in claims for PTSD, Agent Orange, and hearing loss, and the response on all three of them was I didn't complain about them while I was in the service.
Yeah, that's disgraceful. I want to get to you that question in a second, but our backlog claims are over 600,000 right now. You know, here we are in the 21st century, and the technologically most advanced nation in the world, and we can't figure out a way to give people answers on these issues. Some people have died waiting years for their claim to be adjudicated, and people lose houses because they don't have the cash, etc. We want to break through that that red tape. And, you know, it's not just hiring more people, because that will take years and years to do. We want to cut through it in some, and we're considering two or three different approaches, and maybe your listeners can let me know what they think about them. I hate to use the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, as a model here, but people can remember when the tax agency was probably the least responsive agency in the government. Nobody knew what was going on. When you would get your refund check, nobody would answer you. And there was a major reshuffling of that whole agency about 15 years ago. And now, when you file for a refund from the IRS when your annual tax form is due, you'll get a check in 3 or 4 weeks maximum. Mm-hmm. And it's subject to audit. Well, we should do the same thing with the claims process. You file your claim with the with medical documentation, and we accept it subject to audit immediately. So people do not have to wait. And then if an agency wants to take forever to audit it, I don't care. But at least people are getting their claims.
That's true.
And we should not have to fight for every little thing. I mean, most of this stuff, especially from Vietnam, ought to be what they call presumptive. That is, if you served, we serve you. We make you go through this incredible, were you in this spot at this time, in this part of the country with this chemical around? That's ridiculous. You served, you should not have to go through all that red tape. So we're going to try to cut that, all that, especially the Agent Orange stuff that's still there is from Vietnam, and there's no sense in forcing everybody to prove every little thing that happened. We have a responsibility and obligation to serve those of you who served us, and we're going to try to just cut through all that red tape, not with more people, but changing the whole model of how we deal with it.
Actually, I got an email from one of our listeners here in Ann Arbor, Mark. And he asked the question of that because the VA has such a huge inventory of claims that there's a proposal out there to let county veteran service officers assist the VA with the development of these claims known as the DVA Claims Backlog Reduction Act.
Right.
And one of your fellow congressmen, it says Representative Baca from California, has introduced this bill. And right now language is in the subcommittee, and we're kind of wondering if you could take a look at this. His question was if you could take a look at this and see how we could expedite that.
Right. Well, we're going to focus on this as soon as our budget is over in the next month or so. That's Congressman Baca's bill. That's a good bill. I want to combine that with the idea I just previously said. Mm-hmm. That is, if a service officer has gone through this with you and from his or her experience knows what is being done and that claim comes in, then we should just grant it. And argue about it at some later point if we want to. So if we have a person who is trained in doing these claims and getting the documentation, I think the VA should accept it and move on from there. And you know, we must have 30,000 or 40,000 people working in the VA whose sole job is it to sort of question whether a health problem is service-connected or a disability claim is perfect. Think of all the money we save by just accepting these, and moving those funds over into health care for all our veterans.
I think that's kind of interesting, and I don't want to slam a particular industry, but it sounds like a lot of those people used to work for the insurance industry, especially in a claims department.
Their whole purpose is to deny, advocating for the veterans.
Maybe it'll go away. But I wanted to go back and visit real quickly. You mentioned that you're going into the budget process when you get back to Washington, and we're kind of wondering why the VA or the Veterans Health Administration doesn't enjoy mandatory funding instead of having to go back and beg every year for money.
Right. Well, that's a top priority of ours, and we have to face, I guess, our Appropriations Committee people who like to have control over the annual budget in this way if it's mandatory. And I should point out, just for the sake of your listeners, the health care of our veterans is considered a discretionary item in the budget. That is, you have to come up with a number every year, and it's based on a lot of politics, and we argue over $1 billion more here, $2 billion more there, who's doing this. Social Security is a mandatory item in our budget. That is, if you are a certain age and have a certain claim, you get a certain check, and it's not... That's mandatory. That's what we should do for the VA. We should figure out what it costs for a veteran and just put that money in without fighting over it every single year. So we're going to take up that mandatory funding. We may have to fight the people from both parties who are on the Appropriations Committee, but I hope we get that done. Our Speaker of the House is in favor of this, so we should be able to do it. I want to point out one thing about this year's budget. Because of all the publicity about Walter Reed and other kinds of things, Walter Reed being a military hospital, not a VA hospital, but there was a lot of understanding that our veterans were not being treated the way people thought they should be. And we were, the silver lining in the cloud that Walter Reed represented, it was that we were able to put money in that neither party probably wanted to do. We added $13 billion to this year's health care budget over last year. $13 billion. That's over a 30% increase. That's been unprecedented in our history, and it will allow us to put in place the kind of quality treatments for the current war, especially with the brain injury and PTSD we talked about, but also from the Vietnam veterans and World War II veterans who are still with us. They need care, which is very expensive, and we need to give it to them. And so my job as on the committee chair is to make sure that all that new money is being spent wisely and we don't waste it in just bureaucracy.
Congressman Gary Lilly here. What you're saying is absolutely true. I'm going to just make a statement and follow up with a question that the Congress has to understand that the cost of a war continues beyond the date that it officially ends. It goes on forever for the life of the veterans. Now, one of the suggestions on the assured funding was that it be tied in with the inflation and the number of vets. However, who could have predicted Agent Orange? Who could have predicted traumatic brain injury? And if there is a mandatory funding that's tied into something, particular things like inflation and number of vets, is there a danger that they become underfunding again? If something totally unexpected, desert storm syndrome, multiple sclerosis that these troops are developing, is there a danger there?
There's a danger, but you have to update those formula on a regular basis to take into account the changing circumstances. I don't think we have to politically fight over it, but we have to have a formula that can be changed to recognize the circumstances. And we got to move fast. You said who could have predicted the brain injury. That's true, but after, a year of the war, we knew this was coming, and we should be more prepared for it. We know that in this kind of war, PTSD is going to be a major, major problem. We should have prepared for it. This administration, unfortunately, didn't plan for the war, and they didn't plan for the veterans. And I use that line that you used just now that part of the cost of war is the treating of veterans. We cannot skimp on it. George Washington said it years ago, I think, that the most important factor in the morale of fighting troops is the sense of how they're going to be treated when they come home.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask you to hold on. We're going to be going to a break in just a second. We're talking with Congressman Bob Filner, who's chairman of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, and we'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to Veterans Radio on WDEO in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Private First Class Jose Valdez held off 200 German soldiers so his comrades could escape. Details after this.
They came from every corner of the country, from small towns and big cities. But they all shared one thing in common. They belonged to a family called Marines. A tough and determined few, dedicated to protecting everything we hold sacred. And still, they come. Celebrate the history of those proud few who have earned the title Marine.
Valdez was on outpost duty with five others when the enemy counterattacked with overwhelming strength. From his position near some woods 500 yards beyond the American lines, he observed a hostile tank about 75 yards away and raked it with automatic rifle fire until it withdrew. Soon afterward, he saw three Germans stealthily approaching through the woods. Scorning cover as the enemy soldiers opened up with a heavy automatic weapons fire from a range of 30 yards, he engaged in a firefight with the attackers until he had killed all three. The enemy quickly had launched an attack with two full companies of infantrymen, blasting the patrol with murderous concentrations of automatic and rifle fire, and beginning an encircling movement that forced the patrol leader to order a withdrawal. Despite the terrible odds, Valdez immediately volunteered to cover the maneuver, and as the patrol, one by one, plunged through a hail of bullets toward the American lines, he fired burst after burst into the swarming enemy. Three of his companions were wounded in their dash for safety, and he himself was struck by a bullet that entered his stomach and emerged from his back. Overcoming agonizing pain, he regained control of himself and resumed his firing position, delivering a protective screen of bullets until all others of the patrol were safe. By field telephone, he called for artillery and mortar fire on the Germans and corrected the range until he had shells falling within 50 yards of his position. For 15 minutes, he refused to be dislodged by more than 200 of the enemy. Then, seeing the barrage had broken the counterattack, he dragged himself back to his own lines. He died later as a result of his wounds.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Len Pitlack, CPA, is an award-winning consultant for the U.S. Small Business Development Center. Let him use his 25 years' experience to bring you, as an individual or small business owner, his professional and courteous tax and accounting services. Give Len Pitlack a call today at 734-993-1313. Schrader Yacht Sales, the East Coast's finest dealer of Chris Craft, Island Packet Yachts, Packet Craft, Parker Fishing Boats, and Nautic Star Boats. Schrader Yachts is located at the top of Barnicot Bay in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Our good friend Ray Schrader provides you, the customer, with over 30 years' experience in boat sales, sail and power boats, both new and used. Schrader Yacht Sales offers a full-service storage facility and a reliable crew responsible for all of your boating needs. Specialists in electronics, they can accommodate your needs for radar, autopilot, air conditioning, GPS, heat, and communications. Give Ray a call at 732-899-8010. That's 732-899-8010, or go to SchraderYachts.com. That's SchraderYachts.com. Oh, by the way, tell Ray you heard about him on Veterans Radio, and he will personally deliver your new boat from Schrader Yachts anywhere there's water. Schrader Yachts, ready to serve all of your boating needs. And we're back on Veterans Radio, and coming to you from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And we are talking with Congressman Bob Filner of the 51st District of California, who is the chairman of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs. And it was interesting in that Medal of Honor segment we just did that that man probably would have survived if it was, injuries had occurred today.
Oh, absolutely.
Based on your wounded warrior.
Absolutely.
Yes. It's amazing. By the way, that's a great series. Thank you for doing that. Let me just give you one statistic. the ratio of wounded to dead in this war is the highest in the history of warfare, about 17 to 1. Just to compare that, Vietnam was 3 to 1, and probably World War II was 1 to 1. So we are keeping young men and women alive, as you said, who would have died in previous wars. But that is an added obligation to us when they come home. I mean, I've seen these young men and women with burns and with amputations, and they can have very productive lives, but we have to give them a lot of attention to get there.
Absolutely.
We're determined to do that.
And piggybacking on that, Ken had a question about concurrent receipt.
Yes, sir. Congressman, I'm a retired military, and I have a VA disability of 30%. But my disability payment is reduced from my military retirement check. And I think that's commonly called a disability tax on retired. What is being done to correct that so that we can all receive concurrent receipt? Military services are the only branch of the government that have that setup where the disability is taken from the retired pay.
Yeah, we caught that got put into law, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago, an offset that basically you're paying for your right to be disabled, which is a disgrace. You earned both your retirement and, unfortunately, you're also your disability, and you should get them both, which is called concurrent receipt. A couple years ago, we took the first step in changing that, and I wanted to go further, but they phased in a concurrent receipt for 50% or more disabled. We have to do the whole thing. I don't care what percentage you have. I don't care what the situation was. You deserve both, and we're going to try to do that within the next year, hopefully with this year or next year, to get that finally resolved, because that's an insult to those who have been injured.
Thank you, Congressman.
Okay. I encourage people out there to give us a call if you have a question at 877-573-7825. We're talking again with Congressman Bob Filner, who's chairman of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs. Yes, sir, Mr. Lilly.
Congressman, on back to the Desert Storm troops, and a number of them, even those serving in Kuwait, are developing multiple sclerosis. They're asking for funding on that. They're being denied, saying there's no connection, but that was the same as the Vietnam vets went through with Agent Orange. And until we have funding on it and research on it, we can neither prove nor disprove it. So in the meantime, those Desert Storm troops are not getting the treatment nor the compensation for it. Are you familiar with that subject, or can you comment on it?
Yeah, I am. And again, we have this history that we see repeated again and again. It was with our atomic veterans in World War II, with our Agent Orange in Vietnam, depleted uranium, the Persian Gulf situation. Both the Department of Defense and VA go through a standard procedure. They deny that that anything happened. Then they admit it, but only a few, and then you have to go through all kinds of proof of it or try to document it. And then it turns out there's hundreds of thousands or millions of people, and we have to force them to do this. It took a decade for Agent Orange. I hope we can get this fast, much more speedily done for the Persian Gulf. We don't know what caused a lot of this stuff, but it's so prevalent and so clear that it came from either the chemical weapons used in Kuwait, or the maybe even in the vaccines that were given to the soldiers. So I think, again, as I said earlier, we have to stop playing this adversarial game. If you served, we should serve you. And I'm going to try the best I can to get all of these fights that people have and just eliminate them and just say, hey, we owe you this kind of treatment. Unfortunately, that becomes a budget issue, and I can't promise $13 billion every year for increases, but we're the richest nation in the history of the world. We're spending, as I said, $2 or $3 billion a week in Iraq. Surely we have whatever billions are required for those who have served us so well and have been injured in that effort.
Congressman, a question for you. I noticed that your committee is working extremely hard on Veterans Affairs issues, and I know that the Senate is doing the same thing. Are you working together now with the Senate more than committees might have in the past?
Well, I think so. I'm not sure exactly why there's such a difference in approach. I met with the chairman of the Senate committee, Senator Akaka from Hawaii. As soon as I became chair, we agreed to work together, and our staffs are in constant touch every day. They approach some of these issues a little differently in that we pass sort of a separate bill for each of the items that we talked about today. The mm-hmm. Senate tends to combine them into one big bill, and so they have a big bill coming up at the end of the, during October. That's sort of frustrating for us who want to get these things done faster, but they have a different culture, and we have to work with them. They have, I think, a very active committee now. There's several freshmen who used to be in the House and work with me in the House that are there. So those relationships help to smooth the way to more cooperation. We have two houses of Congress in our Constitution. There's checks and balances. We have to work with it, but we're trying to be as proactive and as cooperative as we can.
Congressman Gary Lilly here. One of the issues that veterans talk about is the issue of outreach by the VA hospital. It's stunning to me to learn that to constantly run into vets that don't realize that diabetes, prostate cancer, and whatever are related to Agent Orange. And when you tell them that, they're stunned. So what about the outreach by the VA system to veterans to let them know about if you're suffering from this, please come into the VA hospital?
Yeah, well, typically a bureaucracy, especially one as big as the VA, does not do this kind of stuff well. They think everybody knows what they're doing every day. And it has to be a conscious kind of direct and a very comprehensive policy. Unfortunately, in recent years, they in fact have pulled back on outreach because they didn't think they could handle all the business that would come in. Again, which is a disgrace to have to admit that they don't want people to come in. I think we have to do that. We have to do better with those soldiers who are being discharged and separated from service. And, there's VA people now in all the bases and the kind of discharge kind of procedure that they go through. But they have not made use of of all the tools that are available to a product that is being marketed, television ads, internet kind of advertising, using celebrity people to do this. We have some of these life and death things right now with brain injury and with Agent Orange. As soon as we get a chance to focus on that kind of outreach, you're absolutely right. That's you keep finding people say, "I didn't know that," and the 21st century has a whole lot of tools to advertise, and this has to be done for our veterans because the information is not there. It changes, on a regular basis. There's new information, so we have to figure out new ways to do that. Congress people try to do that through mailings to their constituents, but that helps, but that doesn't reach all the audience or in a proper way. So as soon as we deal with some of these more pressing issues of war, we're going to get to that, which is a vital part of our should be a vital part of what the VA does.
One other item that comes to mind, Congressman, is that higher-income vets with no insurance are denied care. There are the different levels. And even there's the wartime versus non-wartime vets issue. And non-wartime vets, even though they were injured in the military, are being denied treatment at the VA health care system. Can you comment on that? There's 500,000 that have been denied is the figures.
Again,
that I
this
have.
Is... This is just another example of wrongheadedness. In the previous 10 years, the VA committee has been chaired by people who want to cut the number of people that come into the VA to save money. They think the problem with the VA is there are too many veterans. And that's just disgraceful.
Too many
Again, you serve, we should serve you. So I don't care what, you know, we have called those veterans who do not have either service-connected wounds or supposedly a high income.
I need to cut in here. I'm sorry to interrupt, but we're going to take another break. We'll be right back after this message.
Gary Lillian Associates is now Sperry Van Ness Lillian Associates, the newest Michigan affiliate of a leader in the commercial real estate industry, Sperry Van Ness. More than 800 Sperry Van Ness advisors in 136 markets sold nearly $11 billion in commercial real estate last year. That was done by putting the client's interest first, thereby generating maximum return for every property. When we list a property, we immediately place it on 6 internet commercial listing services and email it to 40,000 prospective buyers and 60,000 commercial brokers. We offer to split the commission 50-50. That means your interests, not ours, are placed first. To learn more, call Sperry Van Ness Lillian Associates Commercial Realtors at 800-345-6694. That's 800-345-6694. Be advised, there is a difference.
Schrader Yacht Sales, the East Coast's finest dealer of Chris Craft, Island Packet Yachts, Packet Craft, Parker Fishing Boats, and Nautic Star Boats. Schrader Yachts is located at the top of Barnicot Bay in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Our good friend Ray Schrader provides you, the customer, with over 30 years' experience in boat sales, sail, and power boats, both new and used. Schrader Yacht Sales offers a full-service storage facility and a reliable crew responsible for all of your boating needs. Specialists in electronics, they can accommodate your needs for radar, autopilot, air conditioning, GPS, heat, and communications. Give Ray a call at 732-899-8010. That's 732-899-8010, or go to SchraderYachts.com. That's SchraderYachts.com. Oh, by the way, tell Ray you heard about him on Veterans Radio, and he will personally deliver your new boat from Schrader Yachts anywhere there's water. Schrader Yachts, ready to serve all of your boating needs.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and we're talking with Congressman Bob Filner of California, who's head of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs. And Ken, you had a question for him.
Yes, sir. I was going to the VA for a couple of years for treatment, but I stopped going for one basic reason. I could not get a routine medical appointment. I'd call and would say, they'd say, well, we can give you one in December. Well, my cold's not going to last that long. And they said the response was to go to the emergency room, which I think was wrong. That's overburdening the system. What can we do to get more physicians and caregivers?
Well, it's just a question of priorities and how we allocate our resources as a nation. And we simply have not done the job. I was just before the break, you know, we're rationing their medical care right now. We say that people who have not had a service connection and who have, quote, high income, and high income in some places is over $27,000, so it's not really high. But we deny them service right now, so-called priority 8 veterans. That should not occur, nor should, and again, with funding, there's funding mechanisms that we have to put in place that the VA has just been behind on. Of course, the mandatory funding is one, but a couple others that we should be thinking of. You know, if you're over 65 and are eligible for Medicare and you go to the VA, the Medicare system doesn't put any money in for you. So, and VA is pretty cost effective. It would save Medicare money, so Medicare should be transferred over there. In addition, if you have private insurance, that's not always followed up on by the VA, and so we lose those resources. So I think if we start looking at the more creative financing, we should be able to get the resources to do this. And what you're asking for is just common sense. If you take preventive action and deal with issues before they're grave, then you save money because you don't have to deal with them on an emergency basis.
Right. But one of the things that they told me at the VA was that they cannot bill other government agencies. For example, they cannot go to Medicare to get payment for MyCare. They cannot go to TRICARE and get payment from them.
That system seems to be
broke.
It is, and that goes back to some specific people who were in charge of this stuff, and they didn't like that happening. So we're going to relook at that, and especially the Medicare issue. Medicare will save money by doing it, and the VA will gain resources. So we have to have that ability to transfer between those agencies.
Congressman Gary again here. The VA healthcare system, on a positive side, is the best treatment available for many things for veterans. Diabetes 2, hepatitis C is the one I was trying to think of. And even outside doctors will say the best treatment you can get for that hepatitis C is at the VA healthcare system. There's a saying amongst Vietnam vets, some, that as soon as the last World War II vet dies, the VA system will die also. What do you see as the future of the VA system?
Yeah, I don't think people need to worry about that. And again, you're right about the high quality of care in many areas. Is really good. It's the bureaucracy around the medical care that's so frustrating for many veterans. But we have a commitment to the veterans. I mean, there's millions from the Vietnam era, and of course, you know, we already have 800,000 from this current war. That means, we think of it as a small war, but there's going to be several million veterans of this war. So the business will be there. Nobody has to worry about closing the VA. We have to make sure it adapts to whatever needs that arise, whether they're in brain injury, for example, now, or mental health. And we didn't do our job right with the Vietnam vets, and we have to make sure the resources are still there for them. So, the VA is going to continue as a important part of our nation's obligation. You know, I was in Iraq last week for a week, and most of my colleagues who have traveled there have had the same experience. The issues that come up, questions from our young men and women, are very little about the current war, but more about their status as veterans. What education benefits are there? What job counseling can they get? Is there help in starting a small business? So the needs are there. They will continue, and we will continue to serve it.
I wanted to point out for those of you who are tuning into Veterans Radio for the first time, we talked about funding for small businesses and getting started in a small business just last week. And so you can listen to that program in our archives by going to veteransradio.net. I think you'll find it very beneficial to you. Congressman, a question was, let's suppose that I have an idea that I think might be a good addition to the VA system of some sort. How do I get it to you and your committee, and what's the process?
Well, We're very open to new ideas, and we hope people are thinking about these, especially veterans themselves who have the experience. You can write, call, email our committee or me personally. That's the Veterans Affairs Committee in the Congress. And again, an email, a letter, a phone call will start the process going for whatever idea it is. My own phone number in Washington is 202-225-8045, but if you called 4121, you will get the operator who can direct you to any office in the Capitol.
Okay.
Congressman, that you know that comment and question by Dale right now, just now, was an excellent one, because I'm a member of Vietnam Veterans of America. You spoke to us at our national convention. I was very impressed with the things you had to say. But I have never seen a brighter or better educated group of lay people as are in Vietnam Veterans of America. The issues they talk about and the knowledge that they have is mind-boggling. As an example, George Claxton, who was chair of the Agent Orange Committee for years, actually debated the National Academy of Sciences on molecular biology and how it relates to dioxin, and won the debate. And he's a layperson, doesn't have a college degree. So these people educate themselves, they know the issues, and when they do contact you, I know they're going to have excellent suggestions and excellent questions.
No question, and I rely on that a great deal, and I wish the VA was more open. We're going to try to open up the VA, by the way, to new ideas on the current stuff by establishing a major grant program for community groups who want to help our veterans, whether in rehab for PTSD or research. And we're going to make money available to local groups to help the VA more. We have to open ourselves up to these new ideas and to new ways of doing things.
I think we're going to find that there are many, many organizations out there that are starting to do that, to offer support and help to veterans that are coming back and also to existing veterans who are having difficulty working the system. Yep. Congressman, we've only got a couple of minutes. Is there anything that you would like to say to the veterans audience out there?
Well, a lot of people get very frustrated with the VA because of the adversarial nature of some of the things and the lack of resources. I hope that you will help us make it better. Tell us your experiences, because you have in Congress committees in the House and Senate and Congress people and senators who are very committed to our veterans, who think that no matter where, for example, we feel about this war or any war, that the young men and women coming back from that war should get all the love and care and attention and honor that a nation can give, and we are committed to that. So no matter what you hear about the political battles over the war, there are no political battles over our veterans. We are going to make sure that our obligations are met.
Congressman Filner, on behalf of all the veterans out there, and especially for Veterans Radio, we want to thank you so much for being on our program today, and we look forward to talking to you again in the next couple of months to get an update of what's happening and how you're helping out.
That would be great. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you very much, sir. Wow.
I'm impressed with him. I was at the VBA convention, mm-hmm. and I'm just as impressed today. He's not talking the types of things like, yeah, we're behind our vets. He's talking specifics, changes he wants to see made and improvements he wants to see made. He's specific in what he's saying, and I like that.
I think that's really important. And for those of you out there who have some suggestions for the congressman, his phone number again is 202-225-8045. I guess that's a direct line to his office. And I would assume that it sounds like he's going to take your suggestions seriously. I would encourage everybody, if they do have a concern, to get a hold of them. I know that most of us, if we have a problem with the Veterans Affairs Department, if we go through our congressman, they get resolved fairly quickly.
You know, the one thing I was impressed with is his sincerity. He wasn't just making the political statement that he thinks you want to hear. Mm-hmm. He was talking from the heart. You know, I was impressed with that.
And he was talking with knowledge.
Yes, very much so.
That was very important. A couple of upcoming shows I think that you need to mark on your calendar out there. And that next week we're going to be talking with a bunch of helicopter pilots, and we're going to see how that goes. And hopefully you'll have some questions. If you have a helicopter pilot story out there that you'd like to send to us, you can send it to our contact us at our website, and we'll get you on the air. You can give us a call next week. We've got a couple of people lined up. One is a historian of helicopters, and we'll get that in for you. And also in October is a really important show. It's called Battlefield Promises that Gary is going to be producing, and it talks about, you know, when you're in that foxhole and you're trying to figure out what's going on and you promise some things, do they ever come through? And
We'll have a chaplain and a reverend that made that promise.
I want to thank our sponsors, Marine Scholars Fund, Quantum Physical Therapy, Legal Help for Veterans, Lynn Pitlack, CPA, Schrader Yacht Sales, and Gary Lilly and Associates. Until next week, you are dismissed.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of our guests and are not necessarily those of Veterans Radio or this station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.